morning, everyone. It's Monday, September 26th. I'm Mary Griffith. The Bears won over the weekend. I'm a happy camper. This report and this show are always brought to you each and every morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And I am about three quarters of the way through the giant mug of Harvest Ridge. Today is the day we talk about Cornerstone. And joining me today is Chris Parker from Cornerstone. So let's reintroduce yourself to our WTAD audience. Tell us all about yourself. And I think you do a lot at Cornerstone. You may be the kingpin of it all, right?
Well, I don't know about kingpin, but my title is executive director, and I've been at Cornerstone, actually my second time around here, for about 7 years back now. So I spent about 10 years prior to that there. So
Cornerstone is growing and coming out of the COVID-19 problems that caused you to have increased patient load in a way and yet decreased methods of dealing one-on-one. But you've survived all that, and you're back in good stead. It's kind of a steady ship again, right?
Yeah, we're kind of back to normal. We still do some telehealth, and you talked about increased patient load. We actually increased our staff by one full-time therapist as a result of kind of the effects of COVID.
And so that's been a benefit. And some people prefer telehealth. So, you know, some people are like, well, I don't need to talk to somebody in person. I could do it from the privacy of my own home or the convenience or whatever of their own home. So let's talk about, since you're in charge of everything that happens at Cornerstone, let's talk about your overall full range of services, because this is a special year. You're getting ready for your 75th gala.
Yeah, so we've been around for 75 years, started in 1947 as a result of a couple of local folks who wanted to get a family counseling agency up and going, and that remains our primary mission today. So we really have three kind of chunks of services. We offer some case management services funded through the state of Illinois, and then we offer outpatient psychiatry and medication management, and then, of course, outpatient counseling, where we serve all ages, individual, family, couples, kind of the whole gamut. A big chunk of our nonprofit work is with at-risk populations, so kids who are having some problems in school primarily, maybe having problems at home, maybe some threat for juvenile justice involvement, that kind of population. And then we are a child abuse prevention program here in Adams County, one of the very few. And then also we serve at-risk families who've adopted, and that has caused some problems in the family and looking to stabilize things.
That adoption portion is so important, because it's so critical that we get children adopted into a stable, loving home. But just as bringing a baby home from the hospital causes a new dynamic in the family, a child that's already formed, you know, at 5, 7, 9 years old, whatever age they are, they come with a personality that then must be molded into the existing family unit. And, you know, everybody needs a little bit of help with that. So counseling is really a good thing, and I'm sure that when people adopt, they're encouraged to seek that counseling.
Yeah, well, certainly that's a piece of the kind of planning that they go through with either a private agency or with the Department of Children and Family Services. And then it's a statewide program, so no matter where you live in the state, and no matter how you've adopted, whether that's through DCFS or private adoption or an international adoption, you would qualify for this program, which would get you up to 2 years of counseling at no cost.
So many times, you know, again, children come with a little bit of a set of problems that maybe the average mom and dad isn't ready to deal with, but that counseling can really smooth that over and get that special help for that child, because, boy, we've got so many kids who need to be adopted, and we need so many more foster families and adoptive families. Do you think people are reluctant because they're afraid they can't handle it? And do you think most people don't know that there is counseling available to help them?
I think that's a possibility, sure. I think there's lots of reasons why people might be hesitant to adopt. I think part of what you're identifying could be one of those, which is these are children who've come from bad places. I mean, they've been abused or neglected, and so they typically have attachment problems. And so, you know, they come with a host of issues that you have to be prepared to deal with. And so it's not like just bringing your baby home that you have nurtured in womb and have, you know, welcomed into your family. And they come with their own histories. And so you have to, as you talked about, fit that in with your family.
So that counseling is available. But let's not overlook the fact that even your naturally born children can be Well, difficult sometimes. So there also is family counseling to help deal with particular issues around children. You know, we hear so much more about how much anxiety there is among youngsters. And I try to, you know, I've never had kids of my own, so I don't see it per se. I see it when I volunteer in schools. But, I mean, I remember being nervous before a test, or I wanted to be invited to a birthday party. I'd call that normal childhood anxiety. What do you mean by, I mean, they're saying children are more and more anxious about what? Because I would call some things to be anxious about normal.
Sure.
And
sure.
Other things, maybe it's time to get some help. And how do parents discern the difference?
Sure. So, you know, we all go through ups and downs. We all experience anxiety at times, whether that's in preparation for a test or maybe a big sporting event, maybe a first date for a little bit older kids. First day of school, all those
or
are
not having a first date,
that,
not getting
true.
Invited to prom and homecoming. Yeah,
very true. So all of those things are normal. We look for kids to have experiences around that, you know, you're looking for them to bounce back from. So they may have a couple days where they're feeling anxious or down or sad. You know, when children start having problems in school or you start noticing significant changes in behavior, perhaps they're isolating more. You might notice changes in sleep. Changes in eating, inability to kind of relax and be still. Those would all be things that then you might want to start looking at and some outside help for your child.
Okay. Now, Cornerstone can help with all of that, but you're going to tell me that you have the same problem every other social service agency has, I'm sure. Limited number of staff to deal with perhaps as many patients as you can possibly handle. Where are we in Cornerstone terms, and I'm sure you talk with other people, you know, where are we in the number of people who need mental health treatment, counseling, and the number of people we can actually serve at this time?
Sure. So there's you're spot on. I mean, there's a shortage of mental health care in our community and really nationwide is what we're reading in the literature. You know, the wait times are enormously long for people typically. You know, during the COVID pandemic, our wait times were around 4 to 5 business days, and they went out to 4 to 6 weeks due to the influx of people. That's coming back down now that we've been able to hire. But, you know, when you call other places, we were not aligned at 4 to 6 weeks to get somebody in. And that's for counseling. If you're looking for medication, it's longer than that typically. And I think we're at 2 to 3 weeks to get somebody in for medication management. So, it may not sound that long, but when you think about the point of crisis, when you want help and then you're told, well, you have to wait another 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it's really just very difficult for people when they're at that point of need.
Well, Chris Parker, I think it sounds exceptionally long because I think if I'm going to come to the point where I'm actually going to call for help,
exactly,
I have dawdled and drugged my feet, and finally I'm at probably a crisis.
Exactly.
I would not like to go to Quincy Blessing Hospital and say, I'm here with the bone sticking out and my femur bone is sticking out. And they say, now, Miss Griffith, we'll get you in 3 to 5 days. And if you need pain medication, we can get that done in 2. So what we are experiencing is that our mental health system, as opposed to a parallel with our physical health system, we have a better way to deal with crisis intervention on our physical body health than maybe we do with our mental health. But oftentimes people appear at the emergency room with some mental health issues.
Sure, exactly, yeah. When people are desperate and they don't have another outlet, then that's a place that they will seek out for services, which clogs the ER up, of course. Blessing will tell you that. You know, I will say in our community, it doesn't get you ongoing services, but, you know, I think it's important to note that Transitions does offer walk-in services. So if you're at that point of really kind of make it or break it, they will deal with that crisis in the moment.
That's great. Cornerstone doesn't have that, but Transitions does have that. So folks, if you're out there listening, if you think your family needs some counseling, if you think you need some counseling, call Cornerstone, get on their list in 4 to 6 weeks or less. You'll be put into their system and start seeing their counselors and starting back on your way to wellness. But if you feel suicidal, feel that depression is ruining your life, just are at the point of, I don't know what to do, I'm at the end of my rope, Transitions does offer a walk-in service where they can help. And so we have all these mental health caregivers trying to do their best for the community. And the real bottom line is we have a shortage of counselors, would you say? I mean, you would hire more if more, well, number one, money. But number two, the availability of people to be counselors. It's like Blessing Hospital. They're not saying, oh, we're not hiring any more nurses because we can't afford them. They're saying we're not hiring any more nurses because we'll hire any nurse who comes. I mean, there are no nurses. How did we get in such a deficit for mental health?
That's a really good question. I think we've seen an influx of patients, as we've talked about, due to increased anxiety and depression, which I think is connected to COVID, and it's also bigger than that. I think social media plays a part in that. I think access to information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week plays a part in that. So there's lots of reasons why there's more people seeking. I hope, on a positive note, there's less stigma around mental health care, so people are seeking care. But certainly reimbursement rates is a problem, so our inability to pay people appropriately is a problem. Rural care is obviously more challenging than looking at in more urban areas, so recruiting people to Quincy can be challenging. You know, Quincy, the city has a lot of promotions right now going on to get people to come work in Quincy, and it's the same in mental health. So,
yeah, it's interesting. Once they get here, they like it. But we got to get them here. In fact, a doctor is in town doing an internship, had no desire, wasn't his plan to ever stay in Quincy, and now changing his mind, extending his stay. So all we have to do is get you here. But the other thing we can do is, if you're a high schooler and you're looking at maybe a career in mental health counseling, call down to Cornerstone, say, what kind of classes do I need to have? What kind of things do I need to take in college? What kind of training do I need to have so that I could stay in Quincy and work on your staff after I complete my degree? We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to learn all about the 75th birthday party, right?
Yes.
Anniversary. So they're here, folks, and they're here for you. They are Cornerstone, and they are just like every other medical provider, doing the best they can with the resources they have and the staff they have. But please do not be deterred. If you need counseling help for yourself, your children, your family, we all know that our spouse needs it, whether we need it or not. All of our spouses need it. Do yourself a favor. Call, inquire, and get in their program and get back on the track to good mental health. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. And let's see. He's on microphone 4, it looks like. Who knows? I tell you, all our computer systems went down earlier today, so who knows? Steeple. Steve is usually, keep calm and carry on. Oh, this morning.
Not today.
I mean, he walked in and I said, we're off the air. He goes, oh, I'm aware. And our computer, I came in this morning and I looked at the computer screen and it was blank. Nothing was there. And so I thought, I guess I don't have to work today. And I started to turn around and go out. And then Steve met me at the front door and said, where are you going? I said, well, we don't have a computer today that says we have nothing to do. So there's no Mary Griffith show. There's nothing. I'm just going to go home. Turn around, girl. So anyway, but Drew Quintero is here. He is the public relations and marketing voice of Cornerstone.
Right.
One of the great reasons why mental health stigmas are going away is because people like Drew are talking a little bit about what's happening, and we all need to support Cornerstone and its mission. So you've got a special event coming up.
We do. October 1st, 2022. Is our 75th anniversary. Thanks to a group of concerned citizens, Quincy was on the forefront when it came to mental health back in 1944. And they sent out a survey to the area asking what people felt was a need in the area. And it was discovered that there was a need for general, non-sectarian agency to care for the varied child and family needs in Quincy. And a group of citizens formed what was then known as the Family Service Agency. And then in 2002, our name changed to Cornerstone, but we've been serving the Quincy community for 75 years, and we are so excited to celebrate that this October. And, you know, I'm a person who you can't just do something on one day. I mean, the whole month of December is Drewcember to celebrate all things Drew. So we are celebrating for a full year from October 1st, 2022 to October 1st, 2023. We will be celebrating our 75th Jubilee. And with that, we will be kicking off a 75th Jubilee campaign where we want to raise $75,000 to help us continue to provide the skills, support, and hope needed for fulfilling effective lives for those people in Quincy and the surrounding areas who need it most.
That is so exciting. Now, is there any one activity, or is it just over a whole year this fundraising goal will be tried?
Over the whole year, we'll be integrating the 75th into our already existing fundraisers and activities. So Dancing with Local Stars this year, which will be Friday, February 3rd, 2023, is an all-star year, and we'll have some fun stuff in that event as well to celebrate Cornerstone. Our golf event in May will be dedicated to 75th anniversary as well. And there might be little things popping up here and there throughout the year to kind of celebrate and acknowledge what Cornerstone has done over the last 75 years.
It has been phenomenal what it has meant to our community. And it starts on October 1st, just kind of a starting October 1st, if you want to write a check to Cornerstone,
Feel free to send that check to 316 North 9th Street, care of Drew Quintero. I will make sure that that gets logged, and we will put that towards our goal. We are very fortunate that we have already had one organization in town donate $5,000 to kickstart us out. The Exchange Club graciously made a donation to us, and we are so thankful to them. And that is a great way to kick off what is going to be a fantastic year for all things Cornerstone.
It is going to be great. Chris Parker, join again in if ask a question that's more appropriate for you to answer than Drew. You mentioned the non-sectarian aspect, and we certainly appreciate the counseling that a pastor gives, or a minister, or someplace like the Salvation Army, where they do also try to indoctrinate you into a certain religion. This happens, you know, Catholic Charities, again, serves everybody, but has a Christian mission. By being non-sectarian, you know, it just allows people who don't want to necessarily say Jesus will solve all my problems. Maybe Jesus invented medicine. That's a way for them to get some help, too. How important is it to have that kind of independent arm, Chris Parker, to provide that counseling for some people who do not want a religious component put into their mental health plan?
Certainly options are really important. Counseling works because of the relationship. And so when people seek that out, they're looking for somebody who has some similarities, maybe some like values, people they can connect with. And so that's going to vary from person to person. And so to have that option out there certainly is fantastic for people.
But it's not off the books. If somebody comes in and has a faith, they can also express that faith to their counselor and say, you know, I want to try to use some skills taught in my religion to also overcome my problems.
Certainly. So a couple things I would respond to that with. At Cornerstone, we've got a couple people who can integrate some kind of Christian therapy into already the therapy that they already do. And also, aside from that, your religious beliefs and faith play a huge part in your recovery from a mental illness. So it doesn't have to be a Christian-based therapy in order for us to integrate in some of your beliefs and how you can benefit from using those.
It is somewhat mystifying to me as someone who personally suffers from depression. So I take my famous, it used to be a little blue pill, now they changed it, it's a little white pill now. I can't keep track of all my pills. They're all white now. I need them multicolored, I take so many. But I definitely need that serotonin uplift, I guess you'll call it, especially in the winter. Now, that doesn't mean that I can't also seek help to support me from my friends, my pastor. You know, just had a talk with my priest the other day. But medical help. It's like if I break my leg, I described this to my girlfriend one time. She was really suffering from depression pretty badly. And she was going to take St. John's wort. And I said, well, that might work, but it might take a while. I said, Kathy, if you came to me and said, look, Mary, my leg is broken, my bone's sticking out, what should I do? I'd say, go to the emergency room immediately and start getting help healing that. When your mind, when your spirit, when your brain is somewhat broken, you need to go get help for that. You can't just say, oh, I'll take some St. John's wort and hope that that will be enough. That's why God invented doctors, so that they know how to help you. And then also counselors can help you after the medication. Counselors can also help you deal with your problems effectively, because it's not just a magic pill. That doesn't make your problems go away, the magic pill. It changes the way you look at your problems. Am I correct?
Well, it's interesting. There's a lot of research to show that counseling has the exact same impact that medication does. Your brain changes as a result of behavioral changes and attitude changes. So talk therapy, in terms of when you're talking about the chemistry in your brain, really has the same impact medication does. Yes and no. I found medication typically can be helpful for someone in maybe a more crisis-oriented moment. But in terms of long-term, to your point exactly, in terms of long-term change, it really had to make changes in your thinking, changes in your behavior, maybe changes in your relationships. And that's how you maintain that long-term success.
I agree with you completely. And the dose I take now is, you know, very low. And I think it just keeps me at that level place where, well, it's funny because in the olden days when I first started, I got a little over-medicated. And you went from everything depressing you, like, oh, I have a hangnail, I can't go forward. Oh, you know, somebody in front of me is driving too slow, I just want to pull over and stop, to no matter what it was, I was perfectly fine with it. And I remember the psychiatrist at that time who was monitoring my medication said, oh, we're going to have to redo you. She, how's everything? I said, everything's great. Nothing's bothering me. I mean, even things that should. You
right.
know, it's like, oh,
right.
I lost my right arm to a knight who says knee, but it's not bothering me. The blood doesn't bother me. Nothing bothers me. So you have to, like you said, sometimes just talking it to someone, if you don't have a chemical imbalance, then you don't need medication. If you've got a chemical imbalance, they got to fix that before talking will help, because when you're chemically imbalanced, it doesn't matter if anybody says, now let's look at it this way, because sometimes you can't look at it that way. But I agree with you. So many people are so afraid they're going to have to take medication, or they're going to have to do this, or they're going to have to go to a psychiatrist, lay down a couch once a week for the rest of their lives. And that is not modern day mental health, is it?
Absolutely not. The idea of going to therapy, for example, you just talked about laying on a psychiatrist's couch once a week forever. At Cornerstone, we really believe in change happens quickly. We believe you will see positive change within the first few sessions, typically 1 to 3 sessions. It doesn't necessarily mean you may be done, but that you're going to be feeling better and you're going to see positive changes in your life. And if you're not, we're going to figure out what's going on and why you're not, and then we'll make those changes so that you are noticing some positive impact of seeking services and trying to make improvements in your life.
Okay. We have to take a break. We're 15 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. We're talking about the 75th Jubilee of Cornerstone. We are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Chris Parker, the executive director of Cornerstone, is here, as is Drew Quintero, who's a part of their marketing team, and they are getting ready October 1st. They're kicking off a whole year jubilee. Take that, Queen. They're kicking off a whole year
right.
jubilee. Elizabeth, we've got, you only had a few months. We've got a whole year celebrating Cornerstone and trying to raise $75,000. And Drew, interesting how your mission in many ways is the same. You're trying to provide mental health services to our community, but the way people perceive what is needed and the terms we use
yes.
have changed a lot. So you've got a blast from the past
the
Herald Whig.
I do. So as we said, October 1st, 1947 was our first day of business. And I have a quote from the article from the Quincy Herald Whig dated October 3rd, 1947. Peter Messi, the executive director of the agency, said, Friday, the purpose of the agency is to offer counsel on problems of marital discord, child training, troublesome behavior of the adolescents, and the service also offers counsel to the veteran or displaced war worker in readjustment, to families in arranging care for mentally or physically ill members, to the widow or widower, the employed mother and the unmarried mother in planning for themselves and their children, and to the marginal income or debt-burdened family in working out a way to meet its obligations. What is so interesting, I think, is that, as we said, Quincy was on the forefront. You know, we're still talking today about getting veterans the mental health help that they need once they come back from serving or, you know, and readjustment back into civilian life. And in 1947, Quincy was saying, yeah, this is something we need to be doing. World War II had just ended and they saw that need, and we are still providing those services. You know, child training, we might call, you know, something a little different, you know, helpful hints on how to raise a child.
Emotional social
support.
Skill development. Yeah. But in a way, I mean, even that, I mean, what they're saying is, you know, I mean, giving your children some boundaries and giving them the support.
Yeah.
I think training probably was appropriate at that time.
Yes.
You know, children should be seen and not heard, et cetera. But we have progressed, and I like marital discord. You know, I mean, let's face it. Anytime you're in relationship, I don't care what it is. The three of us have a relationship. We come together about once a month.
Yep.
Chris may not be here every time, but somebody from Cornerstone is. So this is a relationship, and we... You know, you have what you want to get across. I have what I want to get across. Drew's like the ringmaster trying to keep it all together. So you've got relationships with your spouse. You've got relationships with your in-laws, with your own children, with each individual child. And one thing, you know, having never had kids, but one thing parents with multiple children tell me is how hard it is to have individual attention to one child. You know, it's hard because you want to carve out time for them that's special just for you and them, but then you've got to have somebody else to take care of the other ones. And so they were recognizing unwed mothers, people, mothers who worked outside the home. My goodness, how shocking,
you know, Quincy was very progressive in their approach to getting the, you know, as not probably known as mental health help in that time, but getting these services out to the community and really making Quincy, you know, a place that people felt accepted and could talk about the issues that they have. And I think that's something that's so neat. You know, 75 years later, we're still here doing this. And for those people who are maybe thinking, I'm the only person who's going through this and I can't reach out, I'm not going to do that. People have been having these feelings and thoughts for at least 75 years, we know, here in town. But, you know, for hundreds of years, you're not alone. And Cornerstone is here to help you, to show you that you are not alone, that you are not the only person going through this, that we are going to give you those skills and that support. And as I always say, most importantly, that hope that there's a brighter day ahead, and we want to help you see that sunshine.
Well, marital discord has existed since the Garden of Eden when Adam said, what'd you do that for? That was not what you're supposed to do. Adam, don't blame me. It was a snake, you know. And Adam's like, well, we're all in this together now, so here we go. Sew some vines and furs together because we got to cover ourselves. So, you know, since the beginning of time, relationships have been problematic. And Chris Parker, you mentioned, I think a lot of people have a very big misconception about what counseling actually is. And there's going to be, you know, when partners come in, there's going to be, well, one of you is obviously wrong and the other one is right. And as much as I'd like to see that happen, as long as I am in favor, that's not what marital counseling is about. One thing I worry about is people wait too long to seek marital counseling until the bond is broken and the damage is really, really severe. So if you really care about staying with this person you said you were going to stay with the rest of your life, early intervention is important, just like if your kid needs hearing aids, the early intervention is important. It's important in your marriage, too.
Sure. Early intervention is key, whether you're coming in for parenting, whether you're coming in to address your own issues of anxiety, depression, whether you're coming in for relationship problems. It's a whole another world when someone sits down in your office, which has happened more than once, and said, well, depending on how this goes, I have an appointment tomorrow with my attorney. Scheduled. So
no,
that's not
there.
A good place to start. But, you know, to your point, too, in terms of right and wrong, you know, the counselor's there to help figure out how to make the relationship work for you two people, not impose their values, not tell you one person's right or one person's wrong. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've said to people in parenting or in marriage counseling, there's a breadth of ways you can do this, and I don't necessarily agree with all of them, but I don't have to. You have to agree, and you have to make it work for what works for the two of you or what works for you and your child. There's very few things that are right and wrong in that situation.
That is the other thing that's changed probably in 75 years, this issue of right and wrong. The people that were progressive enough to start Family Service Agency, now Cornerstone, knew that it wasn't simply a black and white issue, that professionals needed to be called in to work in the gray area, to change people's actions, mm-hmm. to change their thoughts, because your thoughts and your actions have to be in alignment together. So often,
certainly.
What happens, and we see this all the time in parenting, I'll never do what my parents did. And yet the vast majority of parents do exactly what their own parents did, even if they know it's not right. So you have to learn something better. That's all you know.
Yeah, parenting is a learned, or can be, a learned behavior. And so, you know, there's lots of different parenting ideas out there, different parenting philosophies. And so you really have to kind of figure out what aligns with your values and what you're trying to do, what you think works. And then you have to accommodate that for your child's personality, because one approach doesn't fit all. You know, parents, that can be very frustrating for a lot of parents when they have multiple
go
kids.
Go to your room if they're a loner. Yes, thank you, Mom.
Right.
You know, or go to your room if you're Mary Kathleen. Oh, please, no, not that. But maybe my brother's like, go to my room. Yeah. All right, I don't have to be around my creepy sister. Can I go to my room all the time? You know, you do have to, you can't just do what the neighbor does.
Right, right. You have to figure out what works for each child, for sure. One of the things that I took from Drew's quote, too, is the normalization of problems. You know, we talked about that earlier with stigma, and, you know, these aren't new problems for people, and so these are things that have been around forever. And so, you know, I would encourage people to see it as a normal part of life, that everybody has struggles from time to time and can utilize somebody to help them figure out the skills, support, and help that they need to get better and function better.
We're all in need of some help sometime, and that is why Cornerstone is there. If you need counseling help, contact them, and they are celebrating their 75th Jubilee starting October 1st and going all the way through October 1st of next year, and we'll be talking about it every month right here on The Mary Griffith Show. Have a great day.